Hello, and welcome to the Bible teaching of Pastor Bill Bigham from the pulpit of Boger City Baptist in Lincolnton, North Carolina. You can join us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m., Sunday nights at 6 p.m., and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We're located at 2201 East Main Street in beautiful Lincolnton, North Carolina. For live and archive streaming services, check us out online at bogercitybaptist.org. That's Boger, B-O-G-E-R, City, C-I-T-Y, Baptist.org, O-R-G. And now, open your hearts and minds as Pastor Bill brings the message.
Do honeydew, get out in the yard and show yourself to be a man. Weeks, do something constructive. And so one of the 3 weeks, we go to the beach. And that week's still to come. That's coming up in August. But our family worshiped last Sunday morning up at Mountain View Baptist Church, not the one over in Maiden, but the one up in Hickory in the Catawba Valley Association, and we enjoyed our time. I tell you though, when you're a pastor and you're a preacher and you can't be in the pulpit and you're hearing someone else, when you know it's your turn to be in the pulpit but you're on vacation and you cannot preach, you just squirm and your body language, you know, I was just itching to get back. And so I was putting on my lavalier mic, and Lynn Hudson came by a moment ago. She said, "Are you wired for sound?" I said, "No, I'm just wired. I'm ready to get in the pulpit. I'm ready to begin preaching again." So I do thank those men for filling in and always doing an admirable job, but it's good to be back. And today we're going to continue on our look at spiritual gifts, and we're looking today at the gift of faith, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is another listing of the spiritual gifts. We're a little over halfway through with this series, and I think this particular gift today is going to intrigue you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's go there for a moment. And here it is right in front of us, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. Look at these words. "To another, faith by the same Spirit." When I began this series back in January, I told you that the most common spiritual gift in this church or any church is the gift of service or helps. That is very true at Boger City Baptist. More of you have this gift than any other. We've got a hospitality committee downstairs right now cooking lunch for you. They are using their gift of helps or service for the glory of God. I also told you a few weeks ago that eventually I would arrive on Sunday morning at a spiritual gift that is the least prominent, the most rare, and we've arrived at that gift today. It is the gift of faith. It is the most rare, almost invisible gift in the church. Not every church has this gift. In fact, can I stop for a moment and tell you that I don't know of anybody in this church that I have met yet that has this gift. Now, I didn't say there isn't anybody with the gift. There may very well be. They just haven't emerged or manifested themselves as a person with the gift of faith. Now, let me be specific about what I'm not talking about. There are three kinds of faith mentioned in the New Testament. First of all, I am not referring to saving faith. Paul said in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith." All of us who have been saved have the gift of faith to believe on the Lord Jesus. That's not the gift we're talking about today. There's another kind of gift, or another kind of faith, I should say, and that is sustaining faith. Listen to what Paul said in the book of Romans. "The just shall live by faith." So every day we are to live by faith. That's not what I'm talking about here today either. I'm not talking about saving faith. I'm not talking about the faith we're to live by. I'm talking about the gift of faith today, and let me give you the definition. Again, I haven't seen this gift yet in this church. I believe it's probably here, but it's the most rare of all the spiritual gifts. Here it is. the spiritual ability to envision what God wants done and to believe God will do it despite the impossibility of the situation. Let me repeat it. The God-given ability to envision what God wants to do and to believe God will do it despite the impossibility of the situation. This gift, the gift of faith, sees through spiritual eyes what God desires to accomplish and prays that God will do what He intends to accomplish. That is the gift of faith. In fact, let me give you another definition. It is the unwavering confidence that God will do what He says He's going to do. God is going to do what He says He will do. Now let me give you, to begin with, the reason for the gift. Why did God give this spiritual gift to the church? Here's the first reason. Power for the service of God. Let me tell you another way to define the gift of faith. Again, it isn't the faith that you use to believe on Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is not the faith you use daily. It is mountain-moving faith. Jesus said, if you've got faith like the grain of a mustard seed, all you need do is say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and God will do it. This kind of faith, and I have seen this gift in operation in other churches, this kind of mountain-moving faith is like a bulldozer that pushes away any hindrance that stands in the way of God's will being done in the church. So this gift has been given to the church not only for power for the service of God, but number two, proof of the sovereignty of God. God is in control. Neatly tucked into the word sovereign is the word reign. God reigns. And this gift of faith is proof to the body of Christ that God is on His throne and He will do spectacular things in answer to prayer. People who have this gift of faith not only have mountain-moving faith, but they see amazing, incredible answers to their prayers. And the man who immediately comes to mind for me when I think of anyone with the gift of faith is George Mueller of Bristol, England. Many of you may not even recognize that name, but if you know church history, you well know the name George Mueller. George Mueller of Bristol, England ran an orphanage for abandoned children. In 60 years, and by the way, I have his biography in my study. If you want to read it, I'd be glad to loan it to you. George Mueller of Bristol, England, in 60 years, cared for over 10,000 orphans. Let me stop here and tell you this. Do you know how you can always tell when the gift of faith is working? You don't need gimmicks in order to get the will of God done. You don't need gimmicks. In 60 years, Mueller never asked for one penny when he cared for over 10,000 orphans. Every one of the resources he needed, all of the money came in. Over 60 years caring for 10,000 orphans, all the money came in supernaturally. During those 60 years, more than $5 million came in to help those boys and girls. God met every need. The gift of faith, let me repeat it again, says, God, I know what you want done, and I have unwavering confidence that, God, you are going to do it. The person with the gift of faith knows that all resources come from God. They're in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. They know that verse in Philippians 4, my God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, there's a lot of things that have been done in the body of Christ. And let me tell you how they got done. The gimmicks. That is not how people of faith who have this gift see the will of God done. They trust God implicitly for their resources. A number of years ago, Oral Roberts, we all remember this, he raised money by telling people that if they didn't give to his ministry, God was going to take him home early to heaven. And we know what happened. Money flooded in, and he was able to continue trying to build that hospital and other things out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a gimmick. It's a gimmick. God does not need gimmicks in order to get his will done. Jim Baker, who built Heritage USA. Gimmicks. The Grand Hotel down there in Fort Mill, South Carolina. How did he finance all of those building programs? Because he offered people for the rest of their life for a mere gift of $1,000, 4 days and 3 nights in the Grand Hotel there on the campus of Heritage USA. And what people didn't know at the time but learned later was that he built the people watching his PTO club. He overbooked the hotels 2 and 3 times over, and he went to jail for fraud. God doesn't need gimmicks to get his will done. By the time George Mueller, a man without a doubt who possessed the gift of faith, by the time George Mueller died, he had kept a meticulous diary of all the prayer requests he had made for 60 years. Logged in every one of them. After he died, they found his prayer journal. He had 3,000 pages of prayer requests over 60 years in his journal and over, listen to this, 50,000 spectacular answers to his prayers. That is the gift of faith, and it is rare. This gift does not say, Lord, I want you to do this. This gift says, Lord, I know you want to do this. There's a difference. I'm not going to ask you, the gift of faith says to the Lord, to do your will according to my mandate. Anyone with the gift of faith doesn't come before God and say, now this is what I want. The gift of faith tells the person praying what God wants. And there is all the difference in the world between those two. George Mueller never got on his knees and said, now God, I want this. He was able to pray because he was so in tune to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I know this is what you want, and I'm going to ask you to accomplish your will. Your will is perfect, and you have already told me through your Holy Spirit what you want to do, and I'm going to ask you to do what you told me you wanted to do to begin with. That is the gift of faith. But there's a third reason for it. Provision for the saints of God. God meets the needs of His church when people with the gift of faith pray. This gift often happens when our backs are against the wall. Did you know that? When you have no other resource. Mueller, when he was 70 years of age, this is just one of 50,000 spectacular answers to prayer that in 60 years encompassed, and I told you a moment ago how many pages, 3,000 pages of prayer requests. When he was 70 years old, he was on a ship going from England to Quebec, Canada, in order to speak at a conference. And the ship stalled off the coast of Newfoundland. They were enveloped like a blanket by fog. Captain came down to George Mueller's cabin. He said, Mr. Mueller, we cannot get you to the conference. It's not happening. Resign yourself to the fact that you cannot speak in Quebec. Mueller said this, and I'm quoting, God wants me there. The reason I know He wants me there is because He led me to accept the invitation. So, Captain, let's go down the hall. They had a little chapel on this ship. And Mueller said to the captain, let's go down the hall to the chapel and we're going to pray. The captain in his journal later wrote these words regarding getting on his knees with George Mueller. The captain said, Mueller began to pray as though he were praying the simple prayer of a six-year-old. Dear Lord Jesus, move this fog so I can do your will in Quebec. After Mueller prayed, the captain started to pray too, and Mueller stopped him. Later, the captain wrote in his journal, Mueller said to me as I started to pray, stop, because Captain, quite frankly, you don't believe God can move the fog, and I believe he's already done it, so don't pray anymore. There's no need for you to. And they went up on deck, and the fog had supernaturally disappeared, and they got to Quebec on time. Supernatural answers to prayer. There were hundreds of times, literally, when the orphanage had no food or milk for the orphans. One morning, there was no bread for breakfast. There was not a drop of milk to feed 107 orphans under roof. 107 plates on the table, nothing to put on them. George Mueller got on his knees in his bedroom, and he said to the father, Father, these are your children. They're not mine. They're your problem, not mine. You have an obligation to care for them. I know you're going to feed them. So he got all 107 orphans up out of bed, and he marched them into the dining room. And there they sat in front of barren plates and cups. And he made them sit down. And he said, boys and girls, we're going to pray now. Bow your heads and let's thank God for the food we're about to receive. There was no food in the orphanage. And Mueller, again with the faith of a child, said, Father, thank you that these are your children and you're going to feed them. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 minutes later, there was a knock on the door of the orphanage. And George Mueller went to the door, and a man introduced himself and said, Sir, you don't know me. I'm a baker here in town. And God woke me up at 2 o'clock this morning and told me to bake bread for these children. There must be a need. He said, I have 200 loaves of bread on my wagon. If you'll come get them, they're yours, free of charge. 15 minutes later, there was another knock on the door of the orphanage. Mueller went to the door, and there was a man standing there who introduced himself as a dairyman in Bristol, England. And he said, Sir, my horse-drawn wagon full of milk just broke down a block from your orphanage, and I really have to unload it. I cannot deliver it. It's going to go bad. If you want it, it's yours, free of charge. Enough milk for 200 children, not knowing there was 107 there. God always gives exceedingly abundant above all we can ask or think. Mueller, in 60 years, never asked for one penny. He never advertised any needs for the orphanage. He just depended on God. Secondly, there's not only the reason for the gift in the church. Let me give you a few traits of the recognition of the gift, how you can know you may have it. I don't have this gift. Far from it. It is, again, for the third time, the most rare of all spiritual gifts. Here is what we have learned from people who possess this spiritual gift. The possessor has an unusual walk with God. Let me take you behind the scenes of George Mueller's ministry and tell you that George Mueller prayed 6 hours a day. He got up every morning at 3 o'clock and he prayed until 6. And then he prayed every night from 9 o'clock until midnight on his knees, getting in touch with God. He was deeply intimate with God. People with the mountain-moving gift of faith have an unusual walk with God. Secondly, the possessor of this gift comprehends the unique will of God. They're so close to the Lord that here's what happens. God lets them in on His plan. Ladies and gentlemen, when you pray for 6 hours a day, how many of you prayed even 15 minutes this week? This week, And yet George Mueller of Bristol, England, prayed 6 hours a day. When you pray 6 hours a day, you see if God doesn't open the windows of heaven and let you in on His plans. I am telling you that anyone who prays that amount of time every day is going to hear from heaven. God will tell that person what he's going to do, and that person will believe God to answer that prayer. Would you join me in John 15 for a moment? John 15. We don't have much scripture today, but I want you to see a couple of these in front of you. John, the 15th chapter. John 15, look at verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you. You know, a lot of people cut this verse in half and claim the latter part of verse 7. Ask what you will, and it'll be done for you. And they fail to read the prerequisite. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. You pray 6 hours a day, I would say that you were abiding in Christ, wouldn't you? And if you're praying 6 hours a day, God is going to tell you what His will is, and then you'll have no problem asking God to do what His will dictates. Turn over to 1 John, from John to 1 John, latter part of the New Testament. Here's another promise. 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 14. This is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. How come George Mueller got 50,000 prayers answered in 60 years, 3,000 pages of prayer requests? How could he do that? Because he was so close to his Savior that Jesus was constantly telling George Mueller what to pray for. And I am here to tell you, if God tells you what to pray for, you'll get your prayers answered 100% of the time because you're praying according to the will of God. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. That's how you can be guaranteed to have every one of your prayers answered, because you know what God wants you to pray for, and if you pray according to the will of God, He will always answer your prayers. Thirdly, the possessor of this gift will speak the unwavering Word of God. George Mueller could stand and say, God, I know you're going to do this because you told me you would. How do you get in on God's plan? Walk with Him. Be intimate with Him. Love Him. Abide in Him. You know what George Mueller found out? And here's what all of us need to find out. We don't know this very well. We need to learn this secret. Prayer is not you getting your will done in heaven. It is God getting His will done on earth. That's what prayer is. And he understood it. Boy, did he understand it. Well, there's the third thing. I want you to notice results of this gift. We've seen the reason, the recognition of the gift. There are three things that happen when this gift of faith is used in the church. First of all, crises are escaped. When your back is against the wall, I have heard of this gift manifesting itself in the church when the church had its back against the wall. Let me give you one example. I could give you many, but we don't have time. In Acts chapter 12, Peter is in jail. I alluded to this on Wednesday night in Bible study. He is due to be brought out of jail and to be executed the next day by Herod. Peter is sleeping. I don't know about you, but if I'm in jail on the night before my head's going to be chopped off, the last thing I'm going to be doing is snoozing. You know why Peter could snooze and sleep and rest the night before he was due to be executed? Because Jesus gave him a promise in John 21 about his death. You know, in John 21, Jesus said, Peter, when you're an old man, They're going to gird you and you're going to stretch out your arms and they're going to carry you where you don't want to go. This spake he, John said, concerning the manner of death Peter would die. Crucifixion. Peter was crucified at his request on an upside down cross because he didn't deem himself worthy of being crucified in the same manner as his Savior. Now, Jesus told Peter that on the shores of the Sea of Galilee in John 21. Jesus said, Peter, when you're old. Peter heard that promise made to him when he was in his mid-30s. It's not an old man. So Peter knew he wasn't going to die. The church in Acts chapter 12, listen to this, people in the church with the gift of faith prayed without ceasing for Peter on the night before his execution. And here's what they prayed. Father, you made a promise to Peter that he wasn't going to die until he was an old man. We believe your word, Father, and by faith we believe that you're going to do what you said you would do. And the crisis was escaped. The angel came down and Peter was snoozing so well that the angel touched him. That was the original touch by an angel. And then later Peter wouldn't wake up, so he had to just kind of hit him and finally rouse him from sleep and lead him out of jail. Crises are escaped when the gift of faith is used. Number two, Christians are encouraged. Nothing encourages a Christian. Nothing encourages the church like a spectacular move of God or an amazing, incredible answer to prayer. When your back is against the wall and God comes through for you, that's the gift of faith in operation. Let me tell you something. I heard this said many years ago, and it's true. If we can explain what happened in our church, God didn't do it. Now, I want you to think about that. If you can explain what happened, God didn't do it. When God moves, it is inexplicable. It's unexplainable. If we can explain it, that means we know how we did it. Our ingenuity, our ability. But boy, I tell you, when God comes through in a spectacular way, we know He did it. People with the gift of faith have this as their motto with God: all things are possible. Thirdly, crises are escaped, Christians are encouraged, and ultimately Christ is exalted when the gift of faith is used. Ultimately, God will always get the glory when He answers prayer in a spectacular way. All the gifts God has given to the church, and maybe we've not gotten to your gift yet, but we will before it's all said and done. They're all for the glory of God, and they're never an end in themselves. They're a means to a greater end. Pastor, why do you stand and preach every Sunday? Because I want God to be glorified through my life and ministry. My preaching is not an end in itself. It's a means to a greater end for the ultimate glory of God. When you use your gift, it is not so people can look at you and say, oh, it's an amazing gift you've got. Keep using it. We just admire you so much. That is not why God gives the gift. God gives the gift so Jesus can be exalted. And I'm praying. Let me tell you what I've been praying for this church. You might ask me to quit praying for this, but I'm going to keep on praying that God on occasion would knock us out of our comfort zone, and on occasion put our backs against the wall where the only thing we can do is trust Him so He can come through for us and get the glory. I want you to think about that as we bow our heads together. Every head bowed.